B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Here's Pierce in Concord with the NBA thought. Go ahead, Pierce.
Hey, what's going on? I think the Celtics should go after D'Angelo Russell. He's going to be a restricted free agent next year or this year. And there'd be a logjam at point guard with Kyrie as well. So, and he was an all-star this year too, and one of the most improved players.
Okay, so without getting into the machinations of offer sheets and salary catches, put that to the side and just talk to me about the player, Maz. You want him? Does he fit here? Basketball-wise.
So, look, he improved a lot this past year, and that's the kind of guy you take a gamble on. You'd say he's a young guy with upside. It was a high draft pick. Like, those are the types of guys that typically Ainge goes after. And could they use a point guard? Sure.
Do restricted guys move in that league?
Not really.
Do you ever sign? I mean, I never even hear of offer sheets.
Yeah, not.
Are there?
Jimmy, there are offer sheets, aren't there? But
did Jabari Parker get an offer sheet?
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to say that. I think there was one in the last. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's a bum.
He was one of them. So the only thing is if you're Brooklyn and you're bringing in Kyrie, and I know we have said, will you trade Russell now? Why not just keep them both? What, like, Kyrie can play off the ball. We saw that here.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be able to figure it out.
Well, you'd think. Famous last you'd words, think. Exactly.
Well, but. So look, I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm just saying that you can then, if they're both capable of handling the ball and shooting, why can't that work? Yeah. Like, if I'm Brooklyn, I wouldn't be in any rush to move him.
Look, they won't win crap with him, but in terms of content for us, I'd love it. I mean, he loves weed. He had that whole thing when he was with the Lakers between him and Nick Young when he recorded that private conversation when Nick Young was cheating on, what's-her-face?
Iggy.
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, don't be talking mess about Iggy.
Here's Alan in Florida on the Sox last night. Hi, Alan.
Hi. Yeah, you guys aren't going to talk about this horrible team all summer. I mean, the fourth most popular team in the city, and you talk about them every day. Anyway, I'm going to give you a Maz. I don't know if you're aware of this. You know, I was watching the Yankee game before.
They're loaded.
It's ridiculous. I mean, they scored 6 runs in the first inning. I don't know if you're aware of this. They have beat Tampa Bay 14 out of the last 15 series they played.
Huh.
And they've won the first game of every series 14 straight times. I mean, with Snell not being able to pitch and with Glass now, my whole point is the Red Sox, like I said all along, they're not going to catch the Yankees, but they're going to be in the playoffs. They're definitely going to be in the playoffs. And, you look at this Minnesota team, there's 2 teams in the American League. There's the Yankees and this Houston, because this Minnesota team is, they'll get killed in the playoffs by a Yankees or a Houston. Now, my other point is about Price. I mean, I think that was kind of a big game. What are they going to do? They're babysitting him? I mean, he pitches 5 innings and 70-odd pitches, and they take him out?
So doesn't it have to be that he's hurt? Or he's on the verge? Or there's fraying in the – is it the elbow?
It's got to be the unique elbow. It has to
right?
be.
The unique elbow, exactly.
I mean, I'm willing to bet that it cropped up on the mound last night. So his prior start, he got hammered. Texas absolutely killed him. He's got bad history against Texas.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do we know if someone was up in the 5th inning?
So it's a good question. I don't know. All I know is that now they seem surprised. So it might be that we can't see the bullpens in Minnesota. I've never been to that ballpark. That's one of the, that one was after me. So maybe you can't see in the bullpens because when they put him on the mound, when they took Price out and put in, who the hell was it? I don't remember. Not Walden.
Schwarren.
But he finished the previous inning.
He did. He finished the 5th, but then the 6th, Schwarren was on the mound, and the announcers seemed surprised by it.
Right.
So they must not have been able to see in the bullpen who's warming up. That's my guess, is that it's not visible in Minnesota, but I don't know.
Nick in the car on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Nick.
Hi. So this got me thinking when I heard this. Why would he ask Brad Stevens about government? And then it made me think he thinks that government is he's paralleling Brad to government and the control over him in the offense and how Brad's taking control over him and won't let him do this or that. It's insane. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's banana land.
I wouldn't rule that out.
It's absolute goofy town.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was definitely a passive-aggressive shot. That's what that was.
So there's...
Either way, it's insufferable. Either he's trying to have this whole dissertation on government and what it means to me, Kyrie Irving, because I'm the smartest guy in the room, or he's using it as a not-so-veiled shot at Brad Stevens and that you're controlling me, man. Oh, God. I've learned to truly despise this guy.
What does the word government mean to you?
So, again, if you're just coming in, Gottlieb told a story where there was a film session last season. Kyrie happened to be the first one in the film session, 8 o'clock in the morning. And Brad saw him and said, hello, Kyrie. Kyrie's first words out of his mouth back to Brad were,
what does the word government mean to you?
Out of nowhere. I did think of another parallel. It's like Tim Thomas in the Bruins. It's like,
it's a good one.
You know, they bring Tim Thomas into the office, you know, we have a contract coming up, or, you know, we've given up 10 goals here in the last three games. We're, you know, curious about your thoughts about the defensive rotations. And he says,
what does the word government mean to you?
Or he says, you understand there's a war in China going on right now, right? I mean, that there's much bigger things to worry about. And Shirelli's like, I don't care about South Korea. Frankly, I'm worried about our goals against it. Well, I mean, you understand, dude, that there's some bigger issues here globally that we have to be worried about. And it's like, I can't even talk to you. I'm not here to talk about the freaking government, man. I'm here to talk about our goals against or you splitting time with Rask or whatever the case, whatever. I'm here to talk about hockey. Yeah, it's because we're in the office and we're in the building now and we have a game tonight. Can we talk about hockey?
Oh, yeah. No. Thomas is a good one. Remember, he tweeted something out that was kind of whacked.
And it was like that. It was like, there's a war in China. It's really hard, you know, or whatever. He'd given up a million goals. He was on a bad stretch. And they asked him about it. He said, well, it's, you know, small potatoes compared to what's going on in China right now. Which is technically true, but how do you operate like that? Well, we have a game tonight, dude. And so there's all that piece. But then, you know, that's just Tim Thomas because he's freaking, you know, out to lunch. Kyrie, there is the best part of the Gottlieb story is that Brad didn't know how to answer because he knew there was a trap door there. So he just gave him a nonsense answer because he didn't want to say
it. And so Brad Stevens at 8 in the morning on his first cup of Dunkin' took a long sip and went into some soliloquy saying absolutely nothing because he didn't know what sort of trap door any sort of word was.
You knew you say that.
And then he turned around on Kyrie and said, what's it mean to you, Kyrie? And Kyrie said, control. Very deep.
Oy.
Very, very deep.
Control.
Oh, so, yeah, no. He was totally trying to sucker him into a conversation.
Kyrie said control.
What's the number 8 mean to you, Brad? I don't know. Pace 7-1 in craps if you throw 2 4s. What are you getting at, Kyrie? No, you turn the 8 on its side, and it's the symbol for infinity, man.
No. 8 is his life number in numerology.
But anyway.
Still take him back.
I do wonder when the exact timing of it was. Because that would tell me something, too. Was it the day after the Orlando game when they drew up the last play for Tatum in the corner and Kyrie didn't get the ball and he lost his mind and he called Bron? Was there a film session the next day and Kyrie throws that? Well, it means control, Brad.
Kyrie said control.
I mean, it's like, ay, 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 what?
Very deep.
So,
oh, I bet
very,
you,
very deep.
I bet you it was after that Orlando game.
That's what we've been, that's what we're referring to if you're just joining us. Anthony,
very, very deep.
Anthony in Waltham. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, I was wondering, what point do we have to blame Danny Ainge? I mean, he's got one title. It's been 11 years since he has one. What any other GM in town would be on the hot seat. I understand it's not all his fault, but come on. Be better, Danny.
Anthony, I so agree. One title in 18 years, no one else. We would accept it from no one else. We'd accept it from no one else. One title in 18 years. What is this, Harry Sinden? A lifetime appointment? You haven't won anything? So I'm with you 100% on that. Now break it down. What move would you take back? What did he really screw up? Sort of hard.
Yeah. I could argue the Kyrie deal.
Okay, and I think that, look, you're preaching to the choir on that one. I tried to tell you this months ago. If Kyrie bolts and you don't go anywhere, you will have lost that trade. Could he have looked at Kyrie a little bit harder and said, this guy's trouble, this guy's bad news?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's where the mistakes were made, is his sort of analysis of his own team. How the pieces were going to fit, how people were going to react. I think he just skipped over some stuff because he said they'll figure it out. and that, you know, ultimately it's going to take a little while, but they'll transition and they'll be fine. And I think he completely overestimated that. That at the end of the day, these guys all have massive egos, and a lot of them never really do adjust. A lot of them just go play on middling teams in bad markets, cash their checks, and that's the end of it. And they never win anything. And so I think he totally just, you know, misread that.
So Danny Ainge typically overlooks character. He could care less. I always say he would sign Attila the Hun if he thought the Hun could come in here and win him some ball games. And so he really overlooks it. The man that brought you Ricky Davis and would gladly bring you Boogie Cousins if it were up to him, probably, right? So does he just not pay enough attention to that end of it and look at, is Kyrie really going to fit with how we want to play on the floor? Never mind, can we all deal with this guy? Because we have a certain program here in place and values in place. And can this guy adhere to them? And I bet Danny Ainge didn't put one second into that stuff.
No, because look, at the end of the day, right, he played in the league. He's been an executive in the league. He did TV in the league. The whole thing, he knows that talent wins. Talent wins. I mean, you know, again, how many teams in history, recent or otherwise, have won without a true superstar on the roster or multiple ones?
I think you can now say he misread the leadership abilities of Brad Stevens. Because after this season, does Brad Stevens strike you as a guy that can deal with this kind of thing?
No. Not yet, anyway.
Who could?
But, Mike, really?
What does the word government mean to you?
I mean, what if we got ready to do our show, our email chain, first thing in the morning, and that's how Jimmy started the email chain? What does the government mean to you?
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't care. I just want to talk about the power play. But I don't know the government. What are we doing? Who could deal with that? Who could do that?
No, again, that's like, well, you know, walking in and asking someone if they've ever really thought about the origin of life.
So we continue with your thoughts and the latest on David Ortiz.
I'm not kidding.
Right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where it really went wrong was with the team chemistry.
Yes, and I think there were, and you hate to pick on Gordon Hayward because he was coming back from an injury and he was doing the best he could in a tough situation. But I really think that's where it started. They were force-feeding Gordon Hayward on his teammates. Brad knew Gordon well, wanted to give him his confidence back. You know, I would contend that Brad Stevens would have done that for any player on that roster that had a catastrophic injury. He would have wanted to fill him with the same confidence, but that's not what happened. What happened was he gave those the benefit of the doubt over and over and over to a player who wasn't ready, to a guy who had history with him, and it rankled that locker room. And it bothered that locker room. And then I think they drew conclusions from it that probably weren't even fair or accurate, but it doesn't matter. If you feel that way, then it's real. Check and that's where it started, in my opinion.
Jackie McMullen, NBC Sports Boston last night on the Hayward situation, which still has not resolved itself. In other words, if you think Kyrie Irving brought the Celtics down last year, and he did, that Gordon Hayward situation was also a big problem.
That's the second time I just heard that, and maybe I just missed it earlier. There's an implication there that, and she used the words, fair or not, that could be problematic for this team going forward, whether we like it or not. The feeling is, from hearing that clip the second time, the feeling is that Stevens showing favoritism towards Hayward was, he's giving minutes to the white superstar and not me. Maybe that's Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or someone, one of the black players that maybe looks at this as like a race thing.
Well, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I think that's what she was getting at.
Well, if that's the case, then Stevens has a bigger problem than just Gordon Hayward.
Then you got big issues.
Right.
I don't think it needs to be that if it's just a teacher's pet.
So it could be as simple as that.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's black, white, green, or purple with yellow polka dots.
Right. That's his guy he's going to play.
It's his guy. Now, I don't know. Are there resentments? Is it just the way people think nowadays along racial lines that, well, the white boy, you know, I mean, I don't know. I hope that's not the case. Good God, I hope that's not the case.
Well, so look, given, remember, Jay Crowder thought that the whole reason Hayward was getting cheered here was for the same reason. Crowder was in the locker room with those guys, like, you know, so I'm just connecting dots. I don't know if it's that or not, but
if that's the case, then you got bigger problems than we're even just
right, because the perception's the reality, and then that, you know, the players are going to talk. They obviously do throughout the league, and then this place is now looked at as like, well, why would you go there? They're going to give minutes to a guy that's a bum that was playing on one leg because he's the white guy.
But I'm with Murray. When I heard the comment, I thought the same thing.
I didn't. I thought just teacher's pet. But either way, well, if it's that thing you're bringing up, then that's, you know, that's a whole nother kettle of fish for sure. But even if it's just a teacher's pet, his guy that he picked up in the Prius. Or a Subaru. It's got to be one. There's no way Brad drives anything other than a Prius or a Subaru.
As long as it's economical, it gets good gas mileage.
How about a Honda Accord? He could drive a Honda Accord.
Subaru. No question it's a Subaru. So he picks him up in the Subaru, and that's like, that's enough. You know, the Indiana Mafia there. And does that generate some resentment among? Well, and so it's just shots and minutes. It could be simple as that, you know, that Tatum and Brown are coming off a great year's Eastern Conference Finals. Now here comes, you know, Mr. Indiana, who's not even ready to go, getting all the minutes and the shots. And that's a resentment, you know, before you even get to anything bigger or deeper than that, there's room. That's just a cause for resentment enough. And that issue has not resolved itself. That issue is still there. Those three players are still here. So the Celtics have to clean up that. And does that lead to Adam Himmelsbach's tweet today? Have heard from a few places today that some teams near the top of the draft are wondering about Jaylen Brown's availability. So is that Adam Himmelsbach's backdoor way of saying they're actually dangling Jaylen Brown? And when you say, you know, teams near the top of the draft, well, the Pelicans aren't doing anything at one with Zion Williamson. And with Ja Murray at two, who's the team again?
Ja Morant. That's
Memphis.
Memphis.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Ja Morant.
Ja Morant. At number two. Again, the guy's draft, you'll have to do on your own time. But so he's not going anywhere. So who could have, are the Knicks going to take Jaylen Brown for the third pick?
I doubt it.
What about Cleveland at five?
Is the Pelicans going to give you four for Jaylen Brown? Do you want four for Jaylen Brown? Do you want five for Jaylen Brown?
No. Would the Pelicans do it at four? Maybe. I mean, they were talking about moving that pick anyway, right?
Yes, I don't think the Pelicans want that pick. I guess those are according to the reports.
Yeah, and a lot of people believe it's a three-player draft, that once you get past, you know, Williamson, Morant, and Barrett, that's it. Everything else drops off.
But who's this guy, Jimmy, that they've apparently fallen in love with? Garland out of Vanderbilt?
Yeah, he's a point guard.
Well, they now need one of those. So if they like him and maybe he's there at five, they maybe trade with Cleveland.
Do you like another theory?
Sure. Please.
This is a message to Jaylen Brown. Get your act together.
Yes.
We're dangling you.
I would rule that out too, yeah.
How about that one? How about that's a good one, Jimmy?
Well, especially after the Instagram post today.
Jaylen Brown's Instagram post says he'd rather walk than... Would rather walk than ride with bad company. So he'd rather be the man on a middling team than be in the pack on a great team, or I'd rather be with my guys, even if we suck, versus being on a great team with guys I don't like. It's a horrible look either way. Would rather walk than ride with bad company. So, I don't know. Maybe that is a message sent to Jaylen Brown. Maybe he needs it.
I mean, he's another one that feels like he's a rigid personality, right? You know, that he's sort of set in his ways. He believes what he believes, and that's the end of it. And so, I don't know. I mean, that's a toughie. If that's the case, then in a lot of ways, a guy like that can be your leader. In a lot of ways, if his values are right, when it comes to hard work and commitment and all that. But if he's not your leader, then he can be disruptive.
Continue with your thoughts. Jim in the car. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm on the air.
You're on the air, Jim.
Yeah, you were talking about the Celtics losing all their staff players and they don't want to play in Boston. But Milwaukee has got themselves a pretty good team. And I would think someone would rather be in Boston than Milwaukee. But that being said, where the league is right now, where the inmates run the asylum and the players are building super teams, it's becoming, I think the NBA has a bigger problem with perception, where I don't really care to go to a game if the players like a LeBron can go off.
Jim, let's be honest. What if they were all choosing the Celtics? Would you have a problem with it?
Well, probably not.
Right. So, I mean, that's so our, you know, and again, thanks for the call. The problem is that they're choosing everywhere else. That's why we hate the players having too much control. If the players had all this control and they all wanted to congregate in Boston, you'd be fine with it. You'd be great with it. So let's just sort of be honest about that.
No, it's a good point.
But I'm telling you, all this movement's going to make the league a better place. It hadn't done you any favors. That's for sure. But the league's going to be spread out. There's going to be more balance to the league. There's going to be more intrigue in the league. It's going to be a better league because of it. And I, for one, am looking forward to it. For the first time in my lifetime, we'll go into the season. I'm sitting here now, and I don't know who's going to win the championship. I can't even narrow it down to two, three teams reasonably. I mean, I think the Lakers are going to be there. I hope the Bucks are going to be there. But I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bucks fall back to earth next year. People figure them out. They lose a few people. Just LeBron and Anthony Davis? I don't know. I mean, it's like, I just don't know. Any one of 10 teams could be there next year. That's great for the league.
I'll tell you, though, if this movement thing becomes the norm for years going forward, the Celtics are going to have to rethink how they build this thing. Because the whole idea was we want something sustainable compared to Garnett and Pearson Allen, right? The Garnett Pearson Allen thing was great, but it lasted a few years, and right. That was it. It was over. So the plan this time around was, no, we're going to get high lottery picks, draft them, and get young superstars. But if you can't keep them and they don't want to stay, then you can't do it that way either.
Well, so they haven't lost their homegrown players yet.
But I do worry about
they haven't lost their homegrown players in any era. So I'm not going there yet. They should be able to keep these guys.
Should they?
Well, I mean,
the rules are different now.
I know. I'm not going to freak out about them losing guys until they lose somebody.
I mean, but the advantages way back when, like, so the advantages of to keeping a superstar or there were rules that allowed you to keep a superstar more easily than there are now.
It's just the opposite, actually.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, they built in all these Supermax deals and all these things to keep the drafting team in the driver's seat.
Yeah, but I think the difference was worse before.
Well, players are more willing to do it now, maybe.
Oh, so maybe that's it.
But the rules are really more in the team's favor than they've ever been, and it's still not working. I mean, that I'll grant you. But these guys are leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table to go where they want to go.
Yeah, see, I don't think the numbers are as big as we all think because there's an extra year in there. So it's a 4-year versus a 5-year, and it looks like $50 million, but the player looks at it and says, well, I'm going to make 35 of that back in the fifth year anyway. So it's really not – I don't think the number's as big as everyone thinks.
I see what you mean.
And the players would rather be in the big markets. And so I think it's hard to keep these guys now. They're moving more than they ever are.
Okay, I promise the latest on the Ortiz situation, I will give that to you after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
So here's the latest on David Ortiz. We thought there was going to be a 4 p.m. press conference coming out of the DR. They moved it, or it's going to actually be at 5:30. So I don't know if that's us or them or who the hell knows. But it's not going to be at 5:30. So what are you laughing at, Murray?
It's just, I mean, everything with this whole story is, I mean, you got to take everything that you hear with a grain of salt, and it's all a mess. Yeah. Everything's a mess. Nothing's on time. Nothing's accurate.
Banana Republic.
Oh, listen.
How many arrests are we up to now? 13, 12, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. You get a baker's dozen now, Murray. That's what you got going down there. But it is. They're on island time there. Nothing runs on time with the Dominicans ever.
The guy who's the supposed drug lord. Have you seen the photos? He looks like a guy that works in IT.
You mean the drug lord?
Yeah. Have you seen his photos? He just looks like a regular dude. Like, really? I expected someone menacing and maybe a little bit bigger, you know? I don't know. I've watched too many movies, clearly, and documentaries on drug lords and whatnot. But guy just looks like a regular dude.
Is this the Mota character? Yeah.
He's a geek?
Kind of. I didn't... Well, I don't know. In case that gets back to him, no, you're a very intimidating man, sir.
No, that's great. Alex the sales million's stealing heroin over there. Poor Alex.
All right. Anyway, if you listen to David Ortiz's lawyer, he's not going to be implicated with anything halfway shady. And this, so you sort of wonder if the fix is in, given all the reporting that's happened. I mean, nothing's been mentioned about the $85,000 Lexus that Ortiz bought the gal, who's the girlfriend of the drug lord who got in the cat fight with the Ortiz family in the hospital after he got shot. Like, that whole thing has a little whiff of something. I call me crazy. But anyway, I'm reading from the Globe. As authorities prepare to reveal on Wednesday the results of their preliminary investigation, the lawyer for the retired Red Sox slugger said that his client was an innocent victim and that he certainly would return to visit his home country when he recovers. The lawyer, Jose Martinez Hopelman, said he has been briefed by Dominican authorities on their investigation and he's satisfied with the results. So that tells you just that's a tip-off right there. The prosecutors in the DR have told him what they found, what they're going to reveal, and he likes what he's hearing. Hopelman, and again, if I'm mispronouncing, I'm sorry. Hopelman, I'm just going to go with that. Hopelman said he was planning to fly to Boston to relay to Ortiz the findings, which he declined to publicly detail. Quote, I can say that David Ortiz is innocent in what happened. He has no connection to illicit activities, no relationships with people who have criminal connections, nor has he violated his family values that would bring about such an incident, Hopelman said in an interview with the Globe on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
For no relationships with people who have criminal connections? What?
Well, look, and we know that,
what a bald-faced lie that is.
I was just going to say, I guess it depends on where you draw the line.
How about the guy that lived in his house that was deported in the gambling probe?
Bingo. Yeah, bingo.
I mean, is that not a relationship with someone who has criminal connections?
I mean, that's why I hear that and say that's preposterous.
Ah,
so again, now Ortiz, I think in the book or in response to the book denied some of that stuff, right? So maybe this is them just continuing to do that. But I don't, you know what I mean? Well, go ahead.
Anyway, Hopelman says, what I can tell you is that I'm satisfied with the work the authorities have done so far. Obviously, I have to wait to see what the family thinks, but as a lawyer, I'm happy with the work the authorities have done so far. Hopelman dismissed rumors about the cause of the shooting as cheap gossip, emphasizing that Ortiz is a man of, quote, family values and no enemies, end quote. He said the rumors, which have spread throughout social media and in tabloid newspapers, created confusion and were not based in fact. Quote, that's why we need to wait for authorities to give the official version, which will clearly be based on irrefutable evidence, Hopelman said. Boy, does it sound like the fix is in here.
Oh, yeah. Look, Murray and I talked about this, I think, during the baseball reporters one night. I cannot put any faith, I'm sorry, in the Dominican authorities.
Yeah, this sounds straight from Baghdad Bob.
Hopelman says it will put an end to this story. He says what the authorities reveal today will put an end to this story.
Uh-huh. That's what they want. I mean, that's what they want. But the problem with a place like the Dominican is that there are so many people who are so poor and so few who are absurdly wealthy that the corruption is off the charts. So I don't believe any of it for a second. I told you, our only hope in this thing of getting the real truth is from some sort of media, preferably from someone outside the Dominican. Is some international media or
outside of Boston.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Well, so look, if you were to tell me that, you know, the American government would, you know, the FBI were to, the DEA were to be involved as they allegedly
as they are. Yeah.
Right. Then, you know, I have greater faith in them than I do in the Dominican authorities. I just can't believe that if there is dirt under those fingernails that the Dominican authorities are going to tell us about it.
Well, it's really in the whole country's interest to sweep this under the rug or, you know, exonerate Ortiz or
minimize it.
What? Minimize it? It just is.
Yeah, I mean, random act.
Despite all the people dropping dead because they're drinking the minibar stuff. Like, is that what's going on down there? I'm barely invested in the story at all. But there's all sorts of weird things going on.
For vacationers, people traveling to the island.
Yeah, a lot of it in Punta Cana. Yeah, which is like the shore.
In the DR, dying as it is, and now you have national icons, baseball players getting gunned down in, you know, open gunfights in cafes.
Maybe their finest export in the nation's history, you know?
So Is it in the nation's interest for them to spill all the details of illicit affairs with girlfriends of drug lords and hits and paybacks and blah, blah, blah?
No, absolutely not. Again, I'm telling you that the whole thing is, first, tourism over the years has become more of an industry down there. I mean, again, remember all those commercials Pedro used to do? Mi casa y su casa?
Yeah.
Like, come to the Dominican. They tried to build up that part of it. Now you have all these issues going on down there. David Ortiz, who's maybe the most recognizable guy on the island, gets shot in the back. There's very little chance here that we're going to get the truth. Very little, at least from the Dominicans. And again, all the respect in the world, because a lot of those people are trying to make an honest living. And just like any other country in the world, there are the good and the bad, and the bad, unfortunately, taint the good. So I allow for all of that. But the disparity in wealth there, and the poverty, the overwhelming poverty in some places leads to corruption.
You're saying that the drug lord looks like the tech guy?
Yeah, a little bit.
NBC Sports Boston, just throw a quick camera in the back if you can. Our tech guy, Dennis, is back there. You're telling me this is what El Capo looks like? That dude?
Where's the photo?
In the yellow, that Dennis.
Oh. No. But then again, you know, you had a nerdy, if you watch Breaking Bad, of course, you had the nerdy drug lord there, and he ended up being a ruthless killer. So, I don't know. Maybe I should rethink that
I'm
one.
I'm telling you, Alex the salesman is dealing heroin out of his cube right
so
now.
So there's the latest on David Ortiz. When they go live from the Dominican, we'll take it. Otherwise, back to your phones after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What Brooklyn would like to have is not just Kyrie Irving, but a second star come in with him. And obviously Kevin Durant is that player. If they don't get a second star, it will be interesting to see if Brooklyn wants to have Kyrie Irving as a solo act.
Yeah.
That didn't go so great in Boston last year. And so we'll see if... Brooklyn is still following through on just Kyrie Irving, because if they don't take Kyrie Irving, they can just bring back D'Angelo Russell at a lower number, younger player. But their focus with the Nets, let's get two stars, Kyrie Irving, to try to get Kyrie Irving to go out and recruit KD for him to come together.
That was also Woj yesterday. That's an interesting little sidelight that, what, if they can't get a second guy to come with Kyrie, the Nets might pass on Kyrie? Find that hard to believe. It might be smart. I mean,
definitely smart. They realize we need a buffer.
I mean, tell me if the Nets suddenly have that kind of discipline to say this guy's bad news, and if we don't have him with the right co-star, that he's trouble, so we're not going to do it if we don't pair him with the right guy. Like, that would be, I'd get a lot of respect for the Nets in terms of just patience, and
it's downright prudent is what it
is. Yes, for prudence. Thank you. Exactly that word. I just can't believe it.
No, I don't believe it for a second.
I can't believe a woebegone team that's never won squat has a chance for a top 10 NBA player. Is that what Kyrie is? Top 15 NBA player? And they turn it down? I just can't believe at the end of the day they would do that.
No, no way. And again, even if you don't get someone in immediately, you say, well, just the presence of them should be able to lure more people here going forward.
But just, I mean, the number...
You don't pass up a guy like that if he wants to come.
The number of guys who are out there, and the Nets now have room for two max guys, right? Because they pulled off that trade a couple weeks ago. So whether it's either, like, even Chris Middleton, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, a million guys out there that would be a, you know, legit number two. And does that count for them in the Nets? It should.
Absolutely.
And I asked you before, right now, the current Eastern Conference power rankings, Bucks are one. If Kawhi Leonard goes out west, who's number two? I think it's the Celtics. But what if the Nets? What if the Nets are Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler?
They're right there.
They're three to me. I still put the Sixers ahead. I know what the series has been like against the Celtics, and that includes the regular season. But they did take the Raptors to seven games.
Sixers have no idea how to win.
They took the Raptors to seven games
and lost.
I'm a slave to the scoreboard, Felger. They're two.
Look, and the Bucks had the Raptors 2-0 and double overtime of Game 3 on the way to a sweep. So the Raptors were tight there in the first couple rounds, but I think the Raptors sort of emerged. I don't know. I don't put the Sixers right next to the Raptors, if that's what you're implying, that they took him to Game 7.
Well, the other thing, too, is that Sixers team may lose Butler and Tobias Harris.
Correctamundo.
Right? So two guys are coming out of the mix.
Okay. That's fair.
Yes, and then you... So, but Murray, listen, I don't think you're necessarily wrong.
Like, Embiid's soft, but I still think that he is potentially great.
I just think after the Bucks, there's a pile of teams there. And the Celtics are one of them. I mean, let's see what they do with some of the openings they now have. But Hayward, Tatum, Brown, and let's just say Rozier and Smart, they'll be in the middle of it.
You know they're going to overachieve because Brad has his mix back, his team back. There's no player that's bigger than him.
Right.
And, you know, like, that's when they're at their best.
Are we sure about that?
That's still not great. Yeah.
Are we sure that Hayward's not bigger than the team? Are we sure that Jalen Brown's not bigger than the team? Are we sure that Terry Rozier isn't bigger than the team?
I think if Kyrie's gone, I just have a reasonable... If they go back to that underdog role, I'm comfortable with them there. That's where they've been at their best.
So, look, I think at the end of the day, they'll get a lot of their culture back. Like, they'll get that. But I also think Jimmy raises a good point. The whole Tatum, Brown, Hayward thing, that's still an issue.
No question.
That is still an issue.
Okay, to your phones, as promised here. Dean in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Dean.
Got better this year. He increases rebounds. He increases assists.
So what's your point? So what does that mean?
So you guys were saying that he had taken a step back.
He has. Those are volume stats.
Dean, not to yell at you, but your phone sucks. And,
sorry.
Well, now we're going to yell at you. His efficiencies went down. His percentages went down.
I mean, that's why I cut him off. I'm sorry, because this one drives me bananas. Assists went up. This went up. The volume stats. They're just a product of being out on the floor more. I'm not interested in volume stats. They mean zero to me. I'm looking for guys who score when they shoot or who make the right pass, who affect the game all over the place. Tatum got worse this year. He got worse. I don't care what the volume numbers say, he got worse.
Here's Lewis from Boston on the Ortiz situation. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. Just from someone who's been born and raised in the Dominican Republic, Mass, you are right on the money. In baseball and tourism, my very, very number one income in the Dominican Republic, and these baseball players act as our ambassadors. The Dominican Republic, with the amount of pride that David claims from the DR and the DR has on David, we're not going to hurt David's images. There's no way that the president of the Dominican Republic will allow a bad news to hurt David Ortiz, his family, of what David Ortiz represents to the city of Boston.
Okay.
That will never happen, never ever.
Luis, I think you're right. He's an ambassador. I don't know if there's a better word for it. He's a representative of the country.
He might be the representative of the country.
And what they want, and he's what they want to be represented by. So they're not going to release anything or divulge anything that's going to damage his reputation.
Mike, I asked Murray this one day, and again, forgive me because it might have been on the baseball reporters. What's the number one export of the Dominican Republic?
It's tourism.
Baseball players.
Well, okay, export, fine, yeah.
Baseball players. That's what it is. It's baseball players. It's not jewelry or gold or any of these other things. It's baseball players. 10 million people in the country, they have 30% of the players in the major leagues. That's insane.
That is insane.
That is what they take. It's half an island. Half. And they have 30% of the players in the major leagues. Baseball, those guys down there are gods. They are huge. Nobody is a better symbol of Dominican success than David Ortiz. Nobody.
We've got Mike and Whitman. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, guys? With Conley being traded to the Jazz, I could totally see Gordon Hayward, you know, getting in Brad's ear, trying to get Ricky Rubio over here. And if that's the case, how does that rub Jalen Brown, the other guys?
Okay, Ricky Rubio, is that at all realistic? Someone that you want? Jimmy, can we dispel that immediately or what?
I mean, there was a rumor that Hayward and Rubio were going to be together with the Jazz, so maybe, but point guards are a dime a dozen. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not going to make an impact.
Yeah, what does Ricky Rubio do for? I'd rather have Terry Rozier, I think.
Yes. I think Rozier's a better scorer.
I mean, so
Rubio's a facilitator. He's a passer and a damn good one, but he's a facilitator.
So not only now are you, Hayward stays and he's one of the guys that you have to build around because of his contract. You're going to bring guys to a, so he can play with that. No.
No, you're bringing players in to appease Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That's your future. And something that came across my messages within the last hour or so is Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum are friendly, they're close, they're mentors, something like that. So if the goal is Jason Tatum's your next franchise star, bring me Bradley Beal. Appease him. Make him happy. Go for it from there.
Okay. I'm not giving up Jaylen Brown to do it. Demetrius in Boston on the DR situation. Yes, Demetrius.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I've actually, you know, my uncle's from over there, and he knows everybody from the village and all that. And I was a little shocked that this was all going on. I think there's been like 14 people dead so far in a year.
Yeah.
And his response was basically, there's like over 5 million people that travel here every year. I know they're highlighting these people because they all have similar deaths. But what he pointed out was, you know, they went down there, they liked to party, got a little Pablo Escobar, and there might have been a couple bad matches, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, it's bad PR. I don't think the DR is interested in bad PR. And David Ortiz getting implicated and mixed up with drug lords and mistresses and whatever is bad PR.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to shield him from it. And when you read the lawyer's comments about how satisfied Ortiz's lawyer is with the authorities so far and how, what a great job that they've been doing, according to David Ortiz's lawyer, and that what the authorities will release today will put an end to this story, said the lawyer. I mean, it just reeks of a quote-unquote inside job.
Yeah, bad job.
But, I mean, you know, again, I it's not like David Ortiz was ever implicated criminally anyway.
Right.
It's just, does the motive, when it comes out, embarrass him? That's really what it is. I mean, in this particular incident, David Ortiz was sitting there smoking a cigar and having a drink or something and got shot in the back. He's not implicated in any wrongdoing in this shooting. He's not, so that's, it's not like they have to exonerate him from criminal activity. That's what we're talking about.
Here.
It's simply, how many details do they want to release, even about his victimhood? That would put him in a bad light.
Correct.
And I don't think any.
No, I don't think you're going to get anything either. And again, to me, the telltale moment in this whole thing came when one of the guys who was arrested was shouting out the window of the cell.
We got the wrong guy.
Yeah, and I heard that and I said, well, you know, this is already under control. Somebody got to him. Somebody said to him, whether it was the people that hired him or whether it was the government, one or the other, someone said to him, no, here's what you're going to say.
I just wonder what, you know, could it be this thing that it was intended for Secreto and they were wearing the same shirt and they got mistaken identity?
No way. No way.
Because the prosecutors have already dismissed that. When the guy shouted out the jail, we got the wrong guy, I was confused. They have already, in the reports that I read, rejected it. So I don't know officially what they're going to say today. But the point is, if it's not mistaken identity, how do they keep Ortiz out of the dirt? I mean, see what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
So then what's the... You tell me, what's the path?
So in theory here, in a half hour, we're going to find out. You know, they're going to have this announcement out of the Dominican that they reveal details.
Well, what could it be? Like, I mean, give me four. If it's not mistaken identity, you know, as the lawyer says.
An on-the-level business deal and gone bad.
David Ortiz is innocent in what happened. He has no connection to any illicit activities, no relationships with people who have committed who have criminal connections, nor has he violated his family values that would bring about such an incident. So what's left?
These gentlemen were trying to make custom David Ortiz bobbleheads, and it was a deal that went wrong.
Yeah, a bad business deal that went awry that was not illegal.
Okay.
Yeah, or something of the like.
So there you go. No, that's good. You got it.
Yeah, or something like that. I mean, what else? But again, I don't believe that.
Right.
I don't believe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.